Good morning, everyone. And welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It's good that we can gather in the house of our Lord this morning and offer him praise and thanksgiving for all the good things that God has done. As we come this morning, a welcome to you and to anyone, especially who is new here in the congregation this morning. My name is Robert Adams, and I am the minister here at St. John's. And we welcome all those who join us on the live stream this morning. And we are pleased that you have found us as well. There is, or there was, before you on the screen as we were gathering this morning, a plethora, a cornucopia of announcements. So as we move into the Advent and Christmas seasons, you'll want to make sure you pay attention to the screens because there's going to be lots of stuff on the screens of upcoming services and events. So please do pay attention to the announcement loop as it goes by. I'm going to forget one or two of the ones that I wanted to highlight. You see, there's that many of them. I am away beginning on Monday, tomorrow, for a week of vacation. And so if you're looking for the minister, I won't be here. However, next Sunday for worship, Alex Plant will be your worship leader, and we're grateful to Alex for sharing his gifts of worship leadership with the congregation. And in the event of pastoral emergency, you can contact your elders or the church office. The Reverend Ian McMillan has agreed to provide any pastoral care that may arise in the coming week. And because I won't be here on Wednesday night, that means the Bible study group won't meet on Wednesday night, but we will meet in a week's time. So please make note of that and share it around with anybody from the Bible study group who may not have heard this announcement. We're grateful to have Lloyd King with us this morning playing trumpet as part of our Remembrance Day service, and grateful to all of those who are participating in this morning's act of remembrance. In preparation for Christmas and or Advent and Christmas, we're once again putting together a little pickup choir to sing a couple of anthems through the Advent and Christmas season, and provide other musical leadership. So please think about that. If you have skills and talents as a singer, come and join us. If you don't have skills and talents as a singer, we'll still take you. And if you've ever thought, gee, singing in the choir looks cool, but I don't know, this is your chance to try it. If nothing else, you get to see who's in church on Sunday morning. So the pickup choir for Advent and Christmas is going to begin practicing next Sunday morning following worship. So please make note of that. And those who are willing are invited to join us. We light the Christ candle as we come in to worship as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and in him there is no darkness. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations.
Before the mountains were brought forth, you had formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
Teach us, O Lord, to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart.
Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Through Christ our Lord.
Let us come this morning in worship as we sing hymn 330, O God, our help in ages past, hymn 330. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, you are the shepherd of our souls, the giver of life everlasting. On this day, we commemorate and commend to you those who lived and died in the service of others. We are glad to remember that your purposes for us are good, that you gave Jesus Christ for the life of the world, and that you led us by his Holy Spirit into the paths of righteousness and peace. Merciful and faithful God, your purpose is to fold both earth and heaven into a single piece. With sorrow, we confess that in our hearts we keep alive the passions and pride that lead to hatred and to war. We are not worthy of your love, nor of the sacrifice made by others on our behalf. Lord, have mercy upon us. Almighty God, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be one God, now and forevermore. Amen. I would invite you to please stand. Let us remember with the kindness of God and his favor to us in our time of need. Let us remember the courage, devotion to duty, and the self-sacrifice of men and women in our armed forces, and the toil, endurance, and suffering of those who were not in uniform. Let us remember those who were wounded in the fight, and those who fell in battle, those who are buried at sea, or in some corner of a foreign field. And especially let us remember those whom we have known and loved, whose place is forever in our hearts. Let us remember those who were our enemies, whose homes and hearts are as bereft as ours, whose dead lie also in a living tomb of everlasting remembrance. Let us remember those who came back, those whose lives still bear the scars of war, those who lost sight or limbs or reason, those who lost faith in God and hope for humanity. Let us remember the continuing grace of God, whose love holds all souls in life, and to whom none is dead, but all are alive forevermore. I would invite Eleni and Antonio Forkiotis to come and read for us the honor roll.
From 1914 to 1918, Hugh J.M. Campbell, Clifford Alexander Grant, David McFarlane Moore, Donald Malcolm Monroe, Murdoch John Monroe, William Russell, William Arthur Stoddard, and William Wallace Watson.
Between the years 1939 and 1945, Wesley Oscar Alguire, Joseph McMillan Bullock, John Burney Dougal, Bernard Cameron Grant, James Franklin Groves, George Fleming Hunter, Charles Byron Lant, John Edward McDougal, James Cameron McLeod, John Mervyn McMillan, Donald Glendon Ellsworth McNeil, Gordon McLean Phillips, Robert Benzie Reed, Matthew Sidney Robinson, Robert Tate Roth, Robert Simeon Sandilin, and James Herman Shaver.
Thank you.
They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
In Flanders fields, the poppies blow. Between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved, and were loved. And now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields.
Let us pray. In memory of those who died, may we be better men and women, and in gratitude to God, may we live as those who are not their own, but who have been bought with a price. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Once more, let us come before God in praise as we sing hymn 741, Like a Mighty River Flowing, hymn 741.
Mighty river flowing.
I see some young faces this morning. Janiyah, Preston, you guys want to come up? And, oh dear, it's been a while. Would you like to come up too? You're going to have to remind me of your name. Maybe not. Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Good. Good to see you this morning. Remembering. We're doing remembering today. What helps you remember? Is right? Thinking of things?
Thinking about God.
Thinking about God? Mm-hmm. What helps you remember things, Janiyah? Your brain tells you you've got something in your mind. That's good. Yeah. I say things over and over to myself. That helps me remember sometimes, right? If you're trying to learn something, kind of repeating it so that it gets into your brain. Sometimes I find, you know what the easiest way to help me remember something is? To tell somebody else. Here at the church, if you're around the office, sometimes you will see me. I will walk into the office and I will say to Vina, remind me to. And it's not so much that I'm dumping the responsibility of remembering onto her so that she can remind me actually, but it's that if I tell her to remind me about something, for some strange reason, that always helps me remember. Right? So we remember by all those little things about saying something or rehearsing it over and over in our heads. If we're learning French vocabulary, do you learn French vocabulary? Yeah. You have to just keep saying the word over and over again, right? And you learn it, and you learn it. You figure out what it means. So that's one way we learn. We rehearse things. And this morning, as we've gathered here, and we've been remembering people who have fought and died in wars in the past, we rehearsed something. A service and a ceremony that we've done time and time again, right? We do it here every year. We remember a minute, 2 minutes of silence. We read people's names. We have a trumpeter who plays a special music that only gets played here in this church at that time of the year. On this Sunday, the Sunday before Remembrance Day. And all of those things are a way of us remembering so that we don't forget. And what else do we do? What's different this morning, Preston? We wear our poppies. That's right. And I wanted to share with you just a little bit about the poppy this morning. We all wear it, you're right, as a way to remember, right? It's a visible sign. We do visible signs here in the church often, don't we? Lots of things. We say a visible sign of an invisible God. Things like when we sprinkle water at baptism, that's a visible sign of an invisible God. When we have bread and wine at the communion table, it's a visible sign of an invisible God. But the poppy this morning, we heard, we all wear it, we heard the poem, right? In Flanders fields, the poppies blow, which ties us into a history too, right? It's from the poppy comes from the First World War, when after the battles were all fought, and people started moving away, flowers started to appear on the battlefield, poppies. And they'd never grown there before. Did you know this part of the story? They'd never grown there before. But what has happened during the battle was all of the artillery shells, all of the explosions caused deep, deep holes in the earth. And way down in the ground was a chalky soil that was perfect for growing poppies. But it was deep down. And it wasn't until those acts of war that the soil was churned up enough and that soil from the bottom came to the top and the poppies started to grow. And so they became a symbol of that war and of its devastating effects. And so that's why we wear our poppies today. Our poppies are a way for us to remember what has happened in the past and to commit ourselves to living into God's peace in the future. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning, important things about remembering. So thank you for coming up. It's been great to see you this morning. Trish has a Sunday school lesson for you this morning, so we'll see you after church, or after your class, our church. God in prayer, let us pray. God of light, let your Holy Spirit come into our darkness and open our hearts that your word may show us the blessings you intend for all creation. Amen.
Good morning. Our first scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 to 10. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its furthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant, and I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Our responsive psalm is Psalm 90, verses 1 to 12, that will appear on the screen. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations.
Wherever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
You turned us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals.
For a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a wash in the night.
You swept them away. They are like a dream, like the grass that is renewed in the morning.
In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers.
For we are consumed by your anger. By your wrath we are overwhelmed.
You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance.
For all our days pass away under your wrath. Our years come to an end like a sigh.
The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80 if we are strong. Even then their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away.
Who considers the power of your anger? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you.
So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart.
Our next reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you are able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and belt your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, and lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints.
Our hymn is number 451 in the Book of Praise. Dear Father, Lord of Humankind, number 451, or as it appears before you on the screen. Our gospel reading taken from John chapter 6, reading verses 35 to 46. Let us listen for God's words to his people. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A world in black and white. How things have changed in the 80 plus years since the Second World War. We look back at those historic events, and they're a world that is recorded in black and white. They're mostly photographs and a few grainy newsreels of the day suspended in time in varying shades of gray. And surely that was the experience of many people as they lived their daily lives during those dark years. The sense of joy was gone, that the color itself had drained from their lives as they focused with single-mindedness upon the struggle for justice. How different the experience of the gathering gloom of war was then to what it is today. Today, where cell phones and internet and satellite communication allow us to instantaneously stand next to the soldier on the front line and experience the chaos of war. And yet, despite all the advances in technology, despite that sense of immediacy of conflict, it is those grainy images in varying shades of gray that seem to capture for us some deep understanding of war. Reflecting on our reading from Psalm 90 this week, I turned to the closing pages of a book entitled Reflecting on the Psalms by C.S. Lewis. Lewis, who is known by many today, rose to fame primarily because of his work with the BBC during the Second World War. You see, he was invited to do a series of programs on religious reflections through the worst of the days of the bombings of London. And of those programs, Air Chief Marshal Sir Donald Hardman noted, "The war, the whole of life, everything tended to seem pointless. We needed, many of us, a key to the meaning of the universe. Lewis provided that." In reflecting upon the psalm that we've heard this morning, Lewis posits the following possible interpretation. That when the psalmist declares, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God, the psalmist is speaking not only of God as infinite in time, but that the everlasting nature of God takes us out of the world of time itself. That just as nothing outlasts God, so also nothing slips away from God into the past. Let me repeat that. It takes a couple of readings in the book. The psalmist, is speaking not only of God as infinite in time, but that the everlasting nature of God takes us out of the world of time itself. That just as nothing outlasts God, so too nothing slips away from God into the past. It is the articulation that we dwell with God in an eternal now, where time and space have no meaning and set no limits, but that all things stand before God's watchful presence and nothing escapes his care. Psalm 90 is bound up, you see, with our sinfulness and our human mortality. You turn us back to the dust, O God, and say, turn back, you mortal. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch that ends the night. You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are consumed by your anger. By your wrath we are overwhelmed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. Here in these verses and from the middle of the psalm, we are presented with the fragility of our human nature, especially as it compares with the eternity of God. Like grass, we are renewed by the dews of the early morning and yet wilt beneath the heat of the sun until it fades and withers in the evening. We are limited. Our days are numbered. 70 years, the psalmist says, or 80 if we're very strong. For a good number of you, you must be very, very strong because you're well past that. And I won't point anybody out this morning in that regard. But in the face of all of that, our limitedness, the span of our years counted and numbered and written in God's book, our God is eternal, and God's blessing knows no end. The psalmist concludes the portion of the psalm that we read this morning with these words. Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion upon your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love so that we may rejoice and be glad all the days of our lives. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants and your glorious power to your children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and prosper us for us the work of our hands. Oh, prosper the work of our hands. These words, they are a prayer. They are a prayer that we might see the wonder and glory of our God in the living of our daily lives. It is the prayer that as we dwell in God's presence, that the blessings that we receive will outmatch the suffering of this world and that we will flourish. For those who suffered hardship and inhumanity, the hardship and inhumanity of wars fought in response to the injustice of this world, that has been their prayer, that the inhumanity that they have faced might be overwhelmed by a greater sense of purpose, that this one moment in which we live might be just a fleeting one in that great arc of time that is the 1,000 years of God's presence, and that in the reality of those 1,000 years of God's presence, there will be an outweighing of joy for all of the suffering. And likewise for us and for any who find themselves overwhelmed by hardship, suffering, or grief, whose days seem more gray than not. The good news of our faith is that we dwell in the presence of our God who looks with compassion upon us, who is defined by the divine love which is poured out upon us, who has been faithful to us through generations past, and therefore we know will be faithful to us again also, if we will but watch for God and the moving of God in our lives. As this psalm has been the hope of those who have been in trouble in the past, so may it be for us our assurance that we dwell in the hollow of God's hand. Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O Lord, abide with me. Amen. And thanks be to God for his abiding presence with us. This morning's affirmation of faith is drawn from the Presbyterian Church in Canada's confessional document, Living Faith. It is the part of the chapter 8 which addresses the issues of world peace. Let us read together responsively. Christ, the Prince of Peace, calls his followers to seek peace in the world. Nations have fought in self-defense, and that a tower at times may be unavoidable. But the tragic evil that comes with war, the slaughter of men, women, and children, must rouse us to work for peace. We protest against the world arms race that diminishes our ability to fight hunger, ignorance, poverty, or disease. We fear nuclear war and the devastation that it would bring. We affirm that God is at work when people are ashamed of the inhumanity of war and work for peace with justice. We pray for peace to him who is the Prince of Peace. Amen. Seeing the bounty that God has made for our good use, let us give now our tithes and offerings for the sake of the church and the poor. Thank you. Let us pray. Holy God, bless our offerings with healing that comes from your work and our hands. We give with joy and thanks for what we have. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our great high priest. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of power and love, bless our country and commonwealth. Give wisdom and strength to the king. Govern those who make the laws. Guide those who direct our common life. And grant that together we may fulfill our service for the welfare of the whole people, and for your praise and glory. Bless, O God, all members of the armed forces. Defend them in danger. Give them courage to meet all occasions with discipline and loyalty. So may they serve the cause of justice and peace to the honor of your name. Bless our young people. May they never see the flames of war or know the depths of cruelty to which men and women can sink. Grant that in their generation they may be faithful soldiers and servants of Jesus Christ and his kingdom of peace. Bless our friends and those who were our enemies, who suffered or are still suffering from war. Grant that your love may reach out to the wounded, the disabled, the mentally distressed, and those whose faith has been shaken by what they have seen and endured. Comfort, O God, all who mourn the death of loved ones, and all who this day miss the comradeship of friends. Bless those who are homeless, those who are refugees, those who are hungry, those who have lost their livelihood or security. Help us to pledge ourselves to comfort, support, and encourage others, that all may live in a world where evil and poverty are done away and where human life reflects the radiance of your kingdom. Bless those in authority in every land and give them wisdom to know and courage to do what is right. Encourage those who work for peace, who strive to improve international relations, who seek new ways of reconciling people of different race, color, and creed. Bless, O God, your church throughout the world. By your Holy Spirit, draw the scattered flock of Christ into a visible unity and make your church a sign of hope to our divided world. Grant that we who bear your Son's name may be instruments of your peace, bringing peace to our homes, our nation, and our world. And now, rejoicing in the communion of saints, we remember those whom you have gathered from the storm of war into the peace of your eternal presence, and give you thanks for those whom we have known, whose memory we treasure. May the example of their devotion inspire us, that we may be taught to live by those who learned to die. And at the last, grant that we, being faithful to death, may receive with them the crown of life that never fades, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Grant us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise is number 826 in the Book of Praise. The day thou gavest, Lord, is ended. Number 826, or as it appears before you on the screens. Walk in the way of the Lord with thanksgiving, with gladness, with insight. Turn to the great high priest with all your needs and pray for those who have no words today. And may the God who hears our needs and answers the cries of our hearts be with you today and always, a sure and certain strength through all the ages. Amen.
Thank you, Minna.